Hey, tonight is Monday, December the 8th, or Yud Bet Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir. We're in Masechta Sukkah, Dot Chof Tes, Omud Aleph. Going to finish the second paragraph tonight.
Okay, Rabotai, we're in the middle of Daf Chof Tes, Omud Aleph. It's about the second wide line. Tana Rabbanan Bizman Shehachama Loke. Tonight's share is all Agadata. All Agadata. Just one brief comment on that which we did last week, which talked about rain in the middle of Sukkot. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnah, right here in his commentary, in Perush HaMishnayis, writes, the Yeridas HaGishamin B'tchilas HaSukkot Remez Ki Hashem Eino Mikabel Ma'aseyem B'Ratzon. That if it rains at the beginning of the Yontif of Sukkot, it's an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mikabel their actions biratso. That's all he writes. Now some indicate that Chilas HaSukkot, it refers to the first day of Yontif when there is an obligation to eat in the Sukkah. The rest of Yontif, there's no obligation to eat in the Sukkah, and as a result, not having that opportunity to do so is not as symbolically threatening to Am Yisrael. But what does it mean that Eino Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekabel Ma'aseihim Beratzon? So there are several who interpret this along the following lines. Rav Kook writes that it means along the following lines. There is a Medrash in Parshas Emor, commenting on the pasuk Ulekachtem Lochem Bayom Harishon Priyat Sadar Kapot Marim Anafei Tzavot V'Arvinachal Bayom Harishon, it's a very famous Rash, Rishon La'avonot. That is the first day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to make a calculation about their Averot. That after HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants Mechila on Yom Kippur, is in effect, you shouldn't say it too loudly, a 5-day freebie in which one is not necessarily held accountable for one's actions. So, in effect, one is now offered the opportunity for their ledger to go ahead and to start accruing merits or demerits. It starts when? On the Yontif of Sukkot. So therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to make it rain, what he's precluding us from doing is precluding us from an opportunity to what? To engage in the performance of a mitzvah, and yet, what will be tallied up against our account? All of our debits. Because Rishon La'avonot. So the way to counter an Avera is, of course, to engage in mitzvot. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it rain, it somehow does not allow us to engage in the performance of a mitzvah. And if he's not going to engage in performance of a mitzvah, the consequence will be that on this Rishon La'avonot, the only thing that will accrue are negative activities, which does not send a very positive message. Others, however, I place the emphasis on what the Rambam writes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino mikabel et ma'aseihem biratzon. And here I want to explain what it means biratzon. If you look at every single day of the davening, we conclude the petitionary part of Shmon Esrei with a very broad petition. Right? What is it? Shema Koleinu, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemati. 5 seconds later, we say, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Bancha Yisrael, Uvisfi Lasam. Translated, Rabotai, we only say it 3 times a day. What does that mean? What does that mean? May HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept what? Our tefillah. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, Ba'amcha, may God find Amcha Yisrael, may you find our tefillah pleasing. In other words, right? Right? So the Rav asked, what exactly are we adding here above and beyond Shema Kalein? We just asked to be Nekabel, Nekabel Barachamim is Rav and Sala saying. What are we asking here? But say Hashem Nechama Yisrael, who's this Sila Sam? We just asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our Tzila. What are we adding over here? He said that there is a second element that is accompanied in the Bracha of Ritzeh. In the Bracha of Shema Kaleinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mekabur our Tfilot, simply the request. I ask for something, yes or no. There is a feature of davening which goes above and beyond requests. Tfilah is Keneged Avodah. As the Gemara says in the fourth paragraph of Brachos, that tfilot kineged korbanot tiknum. Davening is not only a shopping list. It's supposed to be avodah. Avodah. And that's the pasuk which the Rambam quotes at the beginning of Hilchos Tfilah. Va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem is the pasuk which mandates tfilah. And he says, we have learned alpi Torah Shabbat Peh. So what does it mean? Zum Tfilah. So the Bracha of Ritzeh is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to accept our Tfilot in terms of Rabbi Nishalon, I need rain. Rabbi Nishalon, I need intelligence. Rabbi Nishalon, I want to win the lottery tomorrow night. It's 170 million. I want to win that lottery tomorrow night. That's not what it is. It's simply asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that my davening now should be accepted Biratzon. What do we find? What do we find? Ratzon, Mirzo, Mirze. It's a pasuk that is found in relationship to what the Korban in Sefer Vayikra. The Nirzalo lechaperalo. Ritzui in the Mikdash is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept your tefillah as a real Korban. Simply indicating that my davening should be accepted. Forget about even if I get nothing. You answer me negatively, zero, zero. I get nothing from you. That doesn't mean my tefillah is a waste of time. I want my davening to be accepted as if I brought a korban unto you. And that's the second request of Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Bamti Yisrael, Uvis Filasam. Uvis Filasam. Just one second. That's why, for the Kohanim in the audience, that is why a Kohen goes to Duchen. When does he start making his way to the altar, to the Duchen? Only by Ritzeh. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Shmini, Vayered Aharon Me'asot HaChatat V'Ha'asham Ha'olah Vayivarchein. Aaron benches Klal Yisrael when? Vayered Aharon Me'asot HaChatat V'Ha'olah. When he's finished the Avodah. So when you want to demonstrate that I am now going to engage in Birchat Kohanim, when I'm going to engage in Birchat Kohanim, what has to happen? The Avodah has to come to an end. Or, so that's why, with say Hashem Elokeinu Be'achid V'Hashem so Avodah, our Tfilah being identified as Avodah, now it's appropriate for the Kohanim to go forward and to engage in Birchat Kohanim. Says, others say that when the Rambam has in mind here is that ki Hashem eino mikabel ma'aseihem biratzon is as follows. On the yontif of Sukkot, korban plays such a phenomenal role. Not just for us, but as we believe, the shivan korim, the 70 parim that we offer is keneged what? All of the umot ha'olam. So that the Yontov of Sukkot is now considered the Yontov, which represents every person's recognition of their obligation to be, to engage in service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, if you look in Zechariah, Zechariah says, it's the Torah, the first day of Sukkot, he writes that what's going to happen to Asid Lavo, what every Jew, every person in this world is going to observe, the Yontov of Sukkot, the Torah, first day of Sukkot. So what the Rambam is saying here is that on the Yontiv of Sukkot, in which we offer 70 korbanot for the whole world, and of course including on behalf of ourselves, if it rains, the symbol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sharing with us is She'eino mitabel avodacham l'ratzon. That we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mitabel v'ahava uv'ratzon. That's what we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Was he l'ratzon tamid avodat Yisrael amecha? When it rains on the Yontif of Sukkot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in effect saying, I am not particularly interested in your avodah, and all of your korbanot that you offer to me are not going to be accepted with the intent as to which they are intended. So that's a second possible interpretation, what the Rambam has in mind, Yiridat HaGishamin B'Chag HaSukkot, Remez ki Hashem eino mikabel ma'asehem biratzon. It's this connection that our avodah, our tefillah, our service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be accepted like a korban, which we say is always biratzon. I'm again right. Second wide line. Tana Rabbanan. Bizman shehachama lokeh. When the sun is punished. When the sun is stricken, simran ra l'chol ha'olam kulo. That's a bad omen for the entire world. As to what the sun being stricken is a machloikis. Some say it refers to a solar eclipse. So when there is a solar eclipse, the sun, it doesn't give off its light. It gets dark. So when there is a solar eclipse, that is siman ra l'chol ha'olam. That's what Rashi happens to say. The weakness with Rashi is, that a solar eclipse is something that takes place within the realm of nature and can be predicted by any person who knows what's doing in this world. Any scientist will know. That's why they will tell you 6 weeks in advance. On this and this date, there's going to be a solar eclipse. How is it possible that something that has a natural phenomenon that can be predicted in advance to the minute, to the second, how could that be as a, interpreted as an einish on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Therefore, the Marsha and many others disagree, and they say it has nothing to do with a solar eclipse, but it's what's called, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is what they say, black spots on the sun. So what's black spots on the sun? Anybody know? What are black spots? People, scientists talk about black spots on the sun. But it appears to us as if the sun is not what?
Solar
sunspots. It's not sunspots. That's it, sunspots. It happens when there are some meteors exploding, who knows what's happened in the solar system, and part of the sun's rays gets blocked. That is not something which happens according to a normal sequence of events. What happens? That is if what? That's something unusual, and that, according to that, that is something which is what? Which is simin ra l'chol ha'olam. What supports Rashi is the illustration that the Gemara just offers. Mashal l'mahadavar domeh. What is this to be compared to? L'melech basav adam. Melech basav adam. She'asa su'uda le'avadav. Who made a su'uda on behalf of his servants. Ve'heniach panas lifnehem. And he left a flashlight, a lantern, to illuminate what? The meal. Ko'as aleihem. The king got very angry at his servants. The Omar la'avdo tul panas mipnehem v'hoshivam b'choshech. Take away the flashlight, take away the lantern, and let them sit in the dark. Good. Why do I say, Rabotai, that the imagery contained in this mashal seems to support Rashi, that it is an eclipse and not these sunspots? What? Good. It's dark. What option did the king have to tell somebody instead of taking away the lantern? Extinguish it. Extinguish it, precisely. If you're looking to what to diminish the to diminish it entirely, he could have just said, you know what, extinguish it. But what exactly? The mere fact that you take the light's still going. The sun is still going. Nothing has happened to the sun itself. The sun is still in its full glory. But there is something covering it, so we don't see it. So whichever way it is, if it's a solar eclipse or sunspots, it should be taken as simin ra l'chol ha'olam, based on the fact that the entire world needs and does take advantage of the sun.
Where does Rashi say that?
What?
What?
Kach lokeh eino meira kolkach. V'hashivam b'kach kishacham lokeh eino. It doesn't show its light. How does that happen? Because something passes in front of the sun. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol zeman shima'orot lokin. When the lights are afflicted or plagued, siman ra. Lisson Ahem shall Yisrael. This is a bad omen for the enemies of the Jew. It doesn't really mean the enemies of the Jew, it means us. But often, not often, almost always, instead of saying that we are going to be in trouble, so we say euphemistically that what? It's going to fall upon our enemies, but it really means us. So Rabbi Meir says that that this omen should not be taken as if the entire world is going to suffer. Am Yisrael is going to suffer if the light, if the sun, happens to be stricken.
It can both, not just the sun.
Yeah, because we need
moon. Okay, that's going to be right. That's going to be the next thing in a second. Right. It's either the sun or the moon. Either case. It's only related to Am Yisrael. Mitnei shemulum miluma din demakosehen, because they are trained to get hit. They get hit all the time. Nice. They get hit all the time, so I'm going to hit you again. Mashal. I want every single parent who has a kid in school to listen to this Gemara. You're not going to like it. Mashal, l'sofer shabal lebeit ha-sefer, a teacher comes to school, uritzua biyado, and he's got his whip in his hand. Midoeg, who is going to be worried when the Rebbe walks in with his whip? Misha ragilil kos b'chol yom v'yom, who doeg? The person who is constantly getting whipped, he better start worrying that he's going to be on the receiving end of that whip a second time. So the way everybody explains it is as follows. Again, this is not my educational philosophy, but as I'm explaining the educational philosophy of the Gemara, that when a Rebbe has students, he makes an evaluation and he sees who are the Balei Kishron, who are the people who have talent. So the people who have talent, and they are sitting there lazy. What does he do? Takes out whips and whips them. Why? Because if you have talent, what are you wasting your talent for? But if he makes an assessment that a particular talent doesn't have much between the ears, so he's not going to whip him. Because, well, what do you want from him? That's, he wasn't endowed with that much. So what can you do? So why are you going to whip him? If he doesn't understand the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, it's because he just doesn't understand it. Not because he's lazy, not because he's dreaming. He just doesn't have the ability to understand it. So he's never going to get hit. So too, the nations of the world were not exposed to Mount and Har Sinai. So if they were not exposed to Mount and Har Sinai, we don't have such high expectations for their moral and ethical behavior. We don't. The Am Yisrael, which stood at Mount and Har Sinai and heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and experienced Kriyas Yamsuf and Yisias Mitzrayim and everything else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very high expectations. So when you turn away and you decide not to be committed, the whip comes out, and that's why the bad omen is directed not at the rest of the world, but the bad omen is directed only against Knesset Yisrael. They are trained to be the whipping boys of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu whips us all the time because he expects an awful lot from us. As I said, this is not necessarily the educational philosophy that we like to have today, that you simply ignore somebody and you make an assessment, oh, let him sit there and do absolutely nothing. Tanu Rabbana. The Braisa, now, which the Gemara quotes, serves as a compromise position between the two previous statements. Previous statement was that the sun is a solar eclipse. It's a bad omen for the whole world. Second Braisa says lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, everything's bad only for Am Yisrael. The third Braisa says it depends. Third Braisa, Panorama. Bisman shehachama loke simin ra loyde kechav. If the sun suffers the sunspots or a solar eclipse, that's a bad omen for the Gentile world. However, Livana lo care, but if there is a lunar eclipse, Siman Ra l'sonei en shel Yisrael, then it is a bad omen for the enemies of the Jew, obviously referring to the Jew. Why? Mipnei shi Yisrael monin l'alvana, because the Jews count to the moon, right? We use the moon, lunar calendar. For oiv de kachavim l'chama. The oiv de kachavim l'chama. And the Gentiles exclusively use the solar calendar. We don't only use the solar calendar, we use the lunar calendar and the solar calendar to some extent. So therefore some say we are really impacted by both. Because if we get the worst of everything. If the solar eclipse comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the whole world, but we're included in the whole world. But if it's a lunar eclipse, then he's only angry at Klal Yisrael.
Okay.
Yes. Lokeh b'mizrach. If the eclipse takes place during the morning, when the sun is on the eastern horizon, siman ra liyoshvei mizrach. That is a bad omen only for those people on that segment of the world, on the eastern horizon. B'ma'arav. If the eclipse, however, takes place in the afternoon, when the sun is on the western horizon, siman ra liyoshvei ma'arav. Be'emtzar harakia, if it's when the sun is at its zenith, then siman ra l'cholo alom kulo. It's considered what? A bad sign for the whole world, because then the sun has shlita over both sides of the world. If the sun is at zenith, both the western horizon and the eastern horizon. So if the eclipse takes place exactly at midday, under those circumstances, that's a bad sign for everybody on this planet. Panav domin lidam. If the sun's face appears reddish, the sun has a reddish, sometimes, you know, it appears that way, this reddish, orangish tint, that means cherev baliolam. Okay? So that will mean that, just like dam, that means that there's going to be a lot of killing by way of the sword. So you know that there are going to be a lot of executions. Somebody is going to go rampant with the sword and bring about the death of a lot of members of Am Yisrael and of the peoples of this world. Lisak, if the sun appears like a sackcloth, don't exactly understand what in the world, the imagery befuddles me. Well, how can the sun look like a sackcloth? It's a little difficult for me to understand that. But it means, according to some, that when you have a sack, you put something in it, so the thing that's in it can't be seen. So it also means when the sun is completely obstructed and you can't see it, so it's dark. So what happens then? Chitzei ra'av ba'in la'olam. Arrows of famine come to this world. And the reason why famine is because Rashi says that when you are hungry, your face gets very, very dark. So the darkness that is found inside a sackcloth, if you were to go into a sack, so try that tonight when you go home, put yourself into a sack, shut the light, and it'll appear very, very dark. So too, when the sun appears as a sackcloth, it's the best I can do with this, then you should be worried that there is going to be major famine in this world. Major famine in this world. Lizu ulizu. If you find that what? The sun is reddish and then, dark and red. Cherev v'chitze ra'av ba'an le'olam. Okay, very nice. Laka bitni sasa. Just on that previous thing, the Marsha says that sak is identified with grain based on the psukim in the next couple of parshiot. If you remember, when the brothers went down to Mitzrayim, so what did Yosef, before he revealed himself, what did he tell his little gavai? I want you to fill up this sack with what? With grain, and put the money in there as well. So the pasuk writes, finally, when they came onto the road, Vayiftacha echad sako loseis mispo. He opened up what? His sack to take out the grain, and what did he find? Found the money. Very much afraid. So you see that what's put into a sack? Grain. So if you have the sun compared to a sack, whatever that means, it means it's going to be an empty sack. In other words, there will be no grain on this world. So that's why the sack is associated with chitzei ra'av, with famine. Because the most important commodity for things to grow is grain. Yeah, right? Even though kiloy alalechem levado yichay adav, but the truth is, you need bread, mayim and lechem, and that's it. So the empty sack somehow signifies that there's going to be a famine. Laka biknisato. Puranot shohelavo. If the sun is stricken, if the sunspot or the eclipse takes place, biknisato, and there's a machloikis Rashi and the Rabbeinu Hananel, when biknisato is, you can look at it two ways. Biknisato means as it is entering. That could mean what? In the morning, at sunrise. So then, puranos shohe lavo. Puranos is what? It's going to take its time. Why is Puranos going to take its time? Because the sun still has a full day yet for it to, till it sets. So that's a symbol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino mimaher la'asoto. He's in no rush this time to implement this punishment. U'b'yitziyato, however, when the sun is about to leave, when it's about to set, mimaheres lavo. It's going to happen very quickly. The yesh omlim chiluf advarim, and others say it's just the opposite. And other rishonim say it's just the opposite. That knisato means when the sun is about to go in. That's said. Ubiyitziyato is when the sun comes out. That's in the morning. So you can have both permutations both ways as to whether or not coming out is good, and then at the other, hipuch advara means just the opposite, coming out is bad, or you can have the other way, coming out, going in is bad, and the hipuch advara that they're going in is good. So you've got your choice. The ein lecha kol Uma the Uma Sheloker She'ein Eloheha Loke Ima. And there is no nation that will ultimately be smitten by a Kadosh Baruch Hu where not only are the people attacked, but their gods are attacked as well. Shine'emar, uvechol Elohei Mitzrayim, e'eseh shvatim, ani Hashem. And with all of the gods of Egypt, I will administer punishment. E'eseh shvatim. I will engage in punishment. Based on this pasuk, the Rav was always fond of translating the first piyut of Tfilas Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, not the way the Art Scroll or the Sunzino or the Adler Chumash translates. The first piyut of Tfilas Musaf, the Chazaras Hashatz of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah reads, Upad Me'oz L'Shefet Hayom. The way it's translated is, it's a poem written by HaKalim. The day has been ordained, that's the way it's translated in Art Scroll and Sassino, the day has been ordained, and Birnbaum for that matter, ordained as a day of judgment. Upat, from then, from the first day of creation, from the first day, from the time of creation, may us, l'shefet ayom. And the Rav said, no. Shefet does not mean judgment. Mishpat is judgment. What is Shefet? The way the Pasuk says over here. Uvachol Elohei Mitzrayim he'eseh shvatim. So the imagery that HaKalir is trying to present is Upad, the Rav didn't think is ordained. It comes from the word Eifol, ve'afadetelo. Namely, a Kohen, when he engages in his priestly work, he has to wear his special priestly garment. A judge has to wear his robe. So the judge is wearing his robe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the judge, is when, from the first time, from the day the world was created, on that first Rosh Hashanah, and why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu already going ahead and sitting in judgment? Not to judge anybody, but to punish them. L'shefet Hayom. Why is he ready to punish? Because before the Din Torah already starts, the guilty is charged. Who can defend himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can anybody defend themselves? Right? Ki lo yitzak lefanecha kol chai, says Mishlei. Ki lo yitzak lefanecha kol chai. No living creature can ever defend himself. So the word shefet is the way the Pasuk here understands it, is e'eseh shfatim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to mete out punishment. Ubechol Elohei Mitzrayim e'eseh shpatim. Ubizman sheYisrael osin v'tzono shel makom ein misyarin mikol elu. When Am Yisrael follow the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of, a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, sunspots, red, nothing to be afraid of. Shine emar, Koamar Hashem, El Derech HaGoyim, Al Tulamdu. Don't follow the patterns of what will be applicable to the Gentile world. Umei Osos HaShamayim, Al Techatu. Don't be fearful of the signs that are conveyed to man by the celestial heavenly bodies. Ki Yechatu HaGoyim Mehema. Because they, the Gentiles, should rightfully be afraid. Drash, Ovdei Kochavim Yechatu, Ve'ein Yisrael Yechatu. The Gentile world should be afraid. Am Yisrael should not be afraid. Provided, of course, that what? Provided, of course, that what? Oysen Ritzayin HaShem Makom. But if you're not Oysen Ritzayin HaShem Makom, there's certainly something to be very much afraid of. Tana Rabbanan, Bishvil Arba Dvarim Chamaloke. The sun will be punished, which is now a symbol that the rest of the world, or Am Yisrael, will be punished for four transgressions. One, Al Av Bezdin Shemes Ve'eino Nispat Tahalacha. When the Av Bezdin dies, and he was not eulogized properly. That's one. It's a little difficult to explain. It's very difficult to explain. I haven't found a really good explanation. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu get so visibly upset because a member of the Bezdin died and they did not extend to him a proper eulogy. I know you're supposed to make a eulogy, but because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be so angry. In some of the other cases, I can hear it. But I can't understand this, how this is lumped together with the other cases. Two. Al na'ara hama'orasa shitso'aka ba'ir ve'ein moshi'allah. Paraphrasing the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Kisayetze. The Torah describes the case of a rape of an engaged woman. So the Torah says that if somebody rapes an engaged woman, if it's basodeh, then ein la mishpat maves. Ule na'ara lo sa'aseh davar. Why? Because what could she have done? Even if she had screamed, nobody's going to hear it. But if it takes place by ear, she's held accountable. Why is it held? She held accountable? Because in the middle of this, she should have screamed. And we expect what? People to come to her assistance. So if she didn't scream, apparently it wasn't a rape. She was participating willfully, and that's why she is to be executed as well. But if you had a situation where we know that what? People, that the woman did scream for help, and nobody came forward. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now says, you're going to come, and obviously the assumption is that somebody heard it, and they didn't respond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very, very angry. Very, very angry. It happens to be something unique to Klal Yisrael and the state of Oregon. 49 states in the Union do not have a Good Samaritan law. If you decide to react to a person who is in trouble, you're called a Good Samaritan. But failure to do so does not, you don't violate a crime if somebody is getting pummeled and you do absolutely nothing in 49 states of the Union. In the state of Oregon, there is a law that if you do not respond to somebody who is in distress, you can be arrested and prosecuted for failing to observe that particular law. Klal Yisrael has that as well. What's that halacha known as? What? L'samer adam le'yav. That's the halacha. You see somebody in danger, you are obligated to do something. Obviously you don't... And I should say so obviously. There is a machloikis rishonim as to whether or not you're obligated to put your life in sakanat nefashot in order to save somebody who is in vadai might lose a life. If you are definitely going to get your life killed, then of course you don't have to. If I know that I can't swim, and if I jump into the ocean, I'm going to drown, I don't have to go. But if I'm a fairly decent swimmer, but the currents are very strong, there's a chance that I can save the victim, save the person who's drowning, and there's a chance that I'll get swept away as well. So some Rishayim say, I'm obligated to make the effort to save. Otherwise you violate the Salamat Samar Adam Re'ach. Other Rishayim say no. The only time that I'm obligated to make an effort is if I'm not in danger at all. But if there is a chance that I might lose my life, under those circumstances, I am not obligated to do so. But in such a case, I can hear the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You hear this woman crying for help, you ignore her, that I can understand. Or, the Al Mishkav Zohar, people who engage in homosexual behavior, can't say this too loud today, but the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at this very favorably. Ve'al shnei achin shenishpach damon ke'echad. If somebody goes ahead and what? Murders two brothers at the same time. It's considered bad enough. One of the most painful tragedies that a parent has to experience is the loss of a child. And many Achrayim point to the pasuk in Parshas Toldos. What did Rivka say
when she wanted to send Yaakov away. What did she say? Loma Echkal Shnehem V'yomechad. Why should I face the potential of losing both my children, Yaakov and Esav, on the same day? Therefore, I want Yaakov away, so that, because who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? That if he kills Yaakov, and then somebody will go out and kill Esav, and that'll be it. I'll lose both of them. That's considered the greatest crime. If a person goes ahead and kills two brothers on the same day, under those circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very annoyed and is quick to mete out punishment under those circumstances. It happens to be, as you well know, Israeli Tzva HaGana L'Yisrael law, that if a family loses a child in war, the rest of her children are exempt for military service, and more for none, even if they volunteer, they will not allow them to be in active combat, even though they override it. The kids themselves want to do it. But you can at least understand from the government, from the military's point of view, why they exempt it.
United States
law too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Five Sullivan brothers.
Okay.
That was all moving.
All right, I remember seeing that. I don't remember that was it. Yeah, okay.
Two brothers, three brothers, the two of them died. They went to go save the other.
Right, he got killed, yeah. Yeah. So all of these, we can see the tragedy involved. How suddenly do you put with these three others, so a member of the Bezdin died, I bet you didn't give him a proper levah, a couple of heads.
Why only the Av?
Only the Av Bezdin. Right. You know, it's very, very, very difficult. Some point to, again, I don't understand it, but some point to a Yalkut Shemoni, which writes as follows. Rav Nahorai Omer, Gzeiras HaMelech, Shekish Yisrael Chotin, Ve'ein Me'abrin Es Hashana Karaui. When Am Yisrael transgress, and do what? And do not, anat Me'aber the Shana Karaui, they do not offer a leap year in this appropriate time, then Bishar shall heves hachama magas lalavana michahe es enov. What does it do? As the sun somehow comes to illuminate the moon, it now, instead of illuminates it, darkens it completely. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Ibar Hashanah, who has to declare it as a Shanam Uberet? Av Bezdin says, Mikudash, the Av Bezdin. Now what does it mean here? What are we referring to? There are several reasons as to why Bezdin is obligated to engage in Kiddush HaKadosh. Several reasons. The primary reason, of course, is to make sure that the lunar and the solar months jive. That's the primary reason. So that if you don't make the appropriate adjustment, the Yontif of Pesach is not going to be Chag HaAviv. It's not going to be in the spring, it'll be in the wintertime. Right? That's one of the things. But there are other considerations as well. The Gemara says, one of the reasons is if the roads and the bridges are in a state of disrepair. So what happens then? You have people who have to make Aliyah L'Regel, and they're going to have to be tripping over stones and unrepaired roads. And whose responsibility is this? It refers to what? To the Rosh HaBezdin. So some say that's what it really means. So it tracks. It says lo nispad kahalacha. He wasn't eulogized properly. Again, I can't explain how this one suddenly fits in to the rest of those. It just doesn't make any sense. What can I do? I don't understand. It's a gadita. It's much harder to understand a gadita than it is lovedness. You know, you have the criteria. You have the wherewithal how to handle this. A gadita, we have no criteria. Yes. Right. They didn't do it at the right time.
They didn't do it at the right time. So here's looking like, you know what? I'll make another help. Or, you know, something like that. That's what I'm saying.
Make instead of a second Adar?
Could be. Could be. That's very possible. Very possible. But again, it doesn't fit into this kind of just saying what some Achroinim say. It's just very difficult. Long again, right? Ubishvil advar dvarim me'oros lokin. And for four other things, not just the sun will be stricken, but the sun and the moon will be stricken. What are those four averos? Al kosve plaster. Kosve plaster. What is kosve plaster? People who write false documents. Zeifen es ashtaros. False documents. Va'al me'ide edus sheker. And people who do what? Who offer false testimony. Va'al megadle behema daka be'eretz Yisrael. And people who raise small sheep in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because sheep happen to do a lot of grazing. And Eretz Yisrael doesn't have a lot of land which is suitable for grazing. And as a result, what people do is they allow their sheep to wander to someone else's land, and you violate the Isur of Gezel. So because you violate the Isur of Gezel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very, very angry. And V'al Kotzei Ilonos Tovos. And because if you cut down good fruit-bearing trees, as is described at the end of Parsha Shoftim, you're not permitted to cut down fruit-bearing trees. If you do that, under those circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that the sun and the moon will somehow be stricken. Ubishvil dalid dvarim nichsei balabatim nimsarin lamalchus. And because of four averot, the possessions of the people, your possessions, your assets, will ultimately be handed over to the authorities. What are those four things? Al mashhi shtoros pruim. If I borrow money from you, okay? So now, I wrote you a document. Now, you come to collect the loan, and I pay the loan. What are you supposed to do with the shtar? You're supposed to rip it up. But, you know, I was very fond of it. I didn't ask you to rip it up. And you keep the shtar that has already been peruah. Why are you keeping it? Because you want to collect it a second time. So when that happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back, and your assets are going to be taken by the government. Va'al malve beribis. And those people who lend money, beribis. Those who lend money, beribis. And not even ribbons. Yeah. Now, just let me take a minute to explain the laws of ribbons for just a minute. Mita oraisa, there's only one type of ribbons that's awesome. That's called ribbons kitsutsa. Fixed ribbons at the time of the loan. I want to borrow $1,000, and you say, I will lend you the $1,000 if you pay me back $1,200. That's the only Isur of Ribbis Mita Oraisa. Ribbis that is fixed at the time of the loan, that's called Ribbis Kitsutsa. Then there are three other types of Ribbis that are Asa Midrabbana. One is called Mechzeke Ribbis, Hashmekzi Ribbis. And in the Gemara's terminology, it's what's called 210 net 30. It's very simple. I buy merchandise. I'm buying merchandise from me, right? I'm in the shmata business, and you're gonna make you're in the garment business too. So you want to buy cloth material from me. Fine. So we have $1,000 worth of material. So normally the normal credit line is that you, the clothes manufacturer, have 30 days to pay. You bought $1,000 worth of material, you got 30 days to pay. We make the following deal. If you pay me within 10 days, I give you a 2% discount. 210, net 30.
That's Asur Midrabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbanan look at it as if you're paying me a 2% fee to hold on to my, to your money for an extra 20 days. It's not really ribs, because it's a business transaction.
But the Rabbanan say, since it appears as if I am holding, you are holding on to your money an extra 20 days by for that extra 2%, Midrabbanan, you're not permitted to engage in that type of activity. Then there is something called avak ribis. Avak is the dirt. Means when you walk, it kicks off some dirt on the back. Here's the case. I borrow $1,000 from you, no problem. And now you tell me I'm not going to charge you. I'm not going to charge you a penny ribis. But you know what? You happen to have a very nice car, which I'd like. I have a very nice car, and you'd like to take a drive in it. But you're not allowed to. I have to be a bum and tell you you're not driving my car. Because if I were to be a nice guy and let you drive my car, you would be getting back $1,000 and free use of the car. That is perceived midrabanan as ribbons. So when you lend money to a person, don't be very nice to them, don't extend them any favors, because any favor that you might extend to them, because they were nice enough to lend you money interest-free, will be perceived midrabanan as a further violation of the charge of interest. Then there is what's called ribis devarim. Okay, so Moshe lives around the corner from me, and we see him. I said, Shabbos morning, Moshe. He lends me $1,000. Ooh, good morning, Moshe. How are you, Moshe? Not allowed to say that. I gotta be the same cold, calculated bum.
Good morning, Moshe.
Because I once found myself falling into this trap. I once had borrowed some money from somebody, and came that Purim, I sent him a beautiful Mishloach Manot. I would never have sent this guy at all any Mishloach Manot. And he was not on my list. He's a nice person, he was very, very nice, interest-free loan, no problem whatsoever. And then I realized, I'm in a serious mistake. By attempting to be mekayim this mitzvah, I violated the Issa D'Rabbanan of Ribis Tavarim, because he was not on my list. It was only because he had given me an interest-free loan, so he now wound up with a big fruit basket plus the $8,000 that I had borrowed from him. Not supposed to do that. So for being Malvei B'Ribis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very annoying. One second. There are many people who violate the law of Malvei B'Ribis. It's not only the lender who charges. The person who pays, the love, violates the Issa D'Oraita of lending ribis. The buyer pays the interest. The sofer who writes the document. The edim who signed the document violate the law. A co-signer, an orein, let's assume you don't trust me, so you want somebody to co-sign the loan. That co-signs the law, he violates the law as well. Apparently, it's considered a very serious offense. And in fact, in Parshas Bahar, where the Issur of Ribis is quoted, it says at the end of the unit, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Hamotzi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'yos Lachem Elokim. And Rashi says, Kedai Yitzias Mitzrayim, that I don't want you to charge Ribis. I don't want you to charge Ribis. Now, not charging interest is a chidush atzum. And that chidush atzum is illuminated by a machloekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Are you allowed to lend to a Gentile and charge him interest? Rabbi Shmuel says, Rishus, you're allowed to. Rabbi Akiva says, Chayva, you must lend a Gentile and charge him interest. Why? And the explanation is very simple. Essentially, charging interest is not unethical. Not unethical. Would anybody say that if you want to borrow a car, I can't rent it to you? And that's unethical? It's absurd. You're using my car. I have a right to get something for it. Well, interest is the right for the service to use my money. What difference is there between charging interest and charging rent?
I'm letting you use my product, I charge you rent. I'm letting you use my money, I charge you rent. That's called interest. It's not unethical at all. In order to demonstrate that it's not unethical, it's a mitzvah to lend it to a god, because the Torah would never demand that you do something unethical. But when it comes to Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, you're supposed to go l'malo miderech hadel, l'malo miderech ethics. You're supposed to be a yashar, even though it's not unethical. I want you to go higher to that and do what? And go ahead and try to lend money interest-free. In fact, Chabad Chaim wrote a whole sefer telling us that even though there is such a thing as a heteriska, which Mr. Rabbanan circumvents the Isur of charging with interest, he pleads with all of Am Yisrael not to rely on halachic gizmos called a heteriska and live up to the ideal of the Torah to do what? To lend money to a person in need and don't charge him interest. So when a person is malva beribbit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that he gets back at you. How does he get back at you? That the government will take away your money. And for a fourth category, yeah? Anything in excess of the loan constitutes interest. And the fourth thing, V'al shahaya sipek biyadam limchot v'lo michu. Somebody sees something can take place, something wrong that's taken place, and sees somebody doing an aveira, and just let him do it. You don't say anything. You make no attempt to stop him. V'lo michu. V'al sheposkim tztaka barabin v'eina nosnin. At the public appeal, $100,000 come to redeem. You give your, excuse me, pardon the expression, chai kak. That's all. You give your chai dollars, and that's it. Nothing else. If you pledge a lot and you don't redeem it, that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange, that your proceeds will have been taken. Yeah. Now, Rav Kook, on the previous Gemara, writes that, as you well know, the world is created from four things. Domain, Someya, Chai, and Midaber. The inanimate, the thing that grows, a thing that's alive, and and human beings that speak. See, he says the four things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is annoyed at, each one of them represents one of these categories. The Megadle Behema, the Chai. The Kotzeis Ilanos Tovos, that's the Someya. The Meid the Sheker, that's the Midaver. He's talking. And then, this is the only one I can't really explain well, but this is what he writes. The one who has the first case was Kaitse Plotter. The guys who write false documents, that's the domain. Why is the domain, okay, ink is not really, it comes from something that, you know, you make it from scratch. But anyway, that's what he writes. So when you corrupt the materials which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for what? For man's service, and you create, and you engage in disservice, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry. Amar Rav, Bishvil arba'a dvarim, nichsei balabatin yotzei letimyon. Because of four things, the assets of people will be yotzin letimyon. What's the English translation of timyon? Will be destroyed. Right. Rashi says, "V'kolin me'alehen." They will be destroyed by itself. What does the word timyon actually mean? Nitmamin. What does that mean? What? Tomer. They'll become hidden. Yes, they'll get hidden and destroyed. One out of four averos. Al oshkei schar sochir. People who do not pay their employees
when they're supposed, I'll call Sheishkar Sakhir. People who withhold their employees, they delay payment of the wages, and as the pasuk says, lo talin tulas sakhir itchad boker, you have to pay your wages in the appropriate time. Two, al oshke schar sakhir, not only don't they delay, they're worse. They don't pay them at all, they keep their money. The al shal parkin ol me'al tzavareyen, v'nosin r'chavareyen, people who go ahead and have certain responsibilities, and instead of fulfilling that responsibility, what do? They assign, oh, you do it. You do it. V'gas, v'al gasas haruach, and for engaging in a sense of arrogance. V'gasas haruach k'neged kulon. And arrogance is worse than any of them. Aval ba'anavim, by those people who are humble, siv, ba'anavim, yushu eretz, v'hit angu al rov shalom. And will have an opportunity to joy them, says, on the abundance of peace, you're humble, everything goes your way. Alright, stop here, finished, finish, second paragraph.